Blog Talk Radio. and we will start going to our service. So I know that Mother Tony and Minister Ron are ready. I know that they are. So Mother Tony and Minister Ron, are you ready to go?
I am.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We are.
Well, you know what? Let us know. Let the people know what we're going to be talking about tonight, and it's in your hands.
We are going to be talking about friendship. And the friendship we're going to be talking about is your spouse being your friend.
Yes.
And the object is for that to be your best friend, for he or she to be your best friend. And we're going to talk about that tonight. The advantages of it, the blocks to it, and the physical emphasis on it. Tony?
Okay. So, yes, we are excited about just the subject. Ron and I talked about what's a good way to talk about marriage. We hear so much of the negatives about marriage. And we just said we really want to show and talk about to the body of Christ and whoever else is listening, that there's a side to the marriage that God wants us to enjoy. He says that his desire is that we would live life and it more abundantly. And he meant that as a part of the marriage relationship, because it's the first relationship that he actually developed for the society and for the world. And so we want to talk about that tonight. So, Ron, you want to pray or you want me to pray?
I'll open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, okay. We come before you. Our hands bowed, our hearts humble before you, Lord. And we just feel so honestly privileged to be in your presence. Well, we thank you for this opportunity to speak with other believers and to speak with others, period, about things that you have discussed and put in place for so long ago. And these principles, as you know, you don't change. And so we want to be the ones who follow your lead, O Lord, and particularly in this institution of marriage, Lord. And we thank you for it, and we pray that as we reveal this information about marriage, Lord, that your Holy Spirit guide us in this presentation. We just ask and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Yes, we want to start off by saying that marriage is the divine institution that God started long ago with the original man and earth on the planet. He made man first, gave man a job to name all the animals, and then he gave him Eve to be his helpmate and gave him the charge to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the expectation that God had was that man and woman would fill the earth with worshipers of him. Them
yes.
To see his mighty works, his mighty words, and to follow his mighty will. So we're looking at this. We want to examine marriage. And as you know, sometimes people, they go at it like it's such a chore. Like it's they call it the institution of marriage. And they go at it like it is a brick and mortar institution.
Right.
But we have to remember something, and this is something my wife and I have discussed. And Lisa gets tired of me hearing it. And I told her, this is a lifetime, no-cut contract. You know, you can live through it, but you got to die your way out of it. And my wife has reminded me a number of times that one of us is going to walk the other one to the grave.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Most couples are great friends when they get married, but after a few years, the pressures of life start sapping the energy and the time for each other.
Yeah.
If a marriage continues without friendship, many couples see divorce as the only way out. But it's not as, if you think it's fun, friendship and emotional connection in marriage aren't possible. I want you to think again. It's very important that you have friendship in marriage. One of the scriptures that points to this, and this is going to be our capstone scripture. I'll begin with this and we're going to end with. I'm going to give you the literal reading of the scripture from Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4.
3 and 4, yeah.
And it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others. Now tonight, for the sake of making this a direct application for marriage, I'm going to paraphrase it.
Mm-hmm.
Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count your spouse more significant than yourselves. That each of you look not only at his or her own interests, but in the interests of your spouse. If both spouses focus on meeting their own needs in a relationship, it means they're possessing in themselves more than their spouse. It becomes a taking relationship instead of a giving relationship. Mm-hmm. With spouses keeping score of how the other person is performing. So what we want to do is look at how to strengthen this friendship. And we're going to look at a number of things tonight. And these are action points. These are things you not only think about, but these are things that you do. As we know, the human body learns by doing things. And the more often you do it, the better you get at doing it. The more natural you are at doing it. That's why we want to make these action steps. Now, I don't like to use negatives, but I'm going to use one just to make an emphasized point on this first step.
Yeah, honey.
When you marry, never stop dating.
Ah, I like that.
Never the negative word. So, and you can't do negatives. You can only do things that happen. So what you want to do is when you're married, date your spouse.
All right.
That's the positive aspect. And if you've stopped dating, then start it up again. Talk about what you did for fun in the early years. Then find a way to do similar things again. Start dating.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, I think that our pastor put it this way. He says, you don't date to marry. You marry to date. And so, I think that that's the fun part. You you get the license and you use it. That's what you do with it. And you think about dating doesn't have to be something so elaborate. It can be something really simple, and and something as easy as thinking about what's my favorite meal, or it gives you time to talk about. Just fun things that you can do together. And Ron and I, we talk about what's your favorite meal? What would you like for me to cook for you? And I know Ron's favorite meal. It's chicken and dumplings.
Yeah, it is.
Chicken and dumplings and some cornbread.
Amen, Ron.
That's a fresh.
Amen.
And some fresh cabbage greens, and I throw a little candy yams on the side, heat, or some sweet potato pie, you know, something like that.
Praise him.
And that's his favorite meal. And, you know, that's something I do for his birthday or just to let him know how much I just appreciate him. So, you know, I'll make that meal for him, and he'll go, "You're doing this for me?" And I said, "Just for you. It's just for him," you know, and to have that time together. It is so important that you take that kind of time to nurture that relationship. And a lot of times we get so, like Ron said, we get so carried away with the cares of the world that we tend to neglect one another. And I know we're guilty of that. We went through a dry time when, you know, we weren't dating, and sometimes it does. It takes its toll on your marriage. So it's important that you take time to have a date, have a conversation starter, and it can be, you know, simply like, you know, what's something, what, you know, what do you like that I wear? What's your favorite outfit that you like to see me in? And you know, it's just, you know, it can be a simple thing, or you know, how can I pray for you? What can I do for you? What's going on right now with you? To take that time to really think about that other person, as the scripture said, preferring that other person over yourself. And so you do that, and dating is a good way to do that. And
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Y'all, we're in two different places.
Having Christ in your life, having Christ in your life, in your relationship, is very handy. I know you think that's kind of an interesting way of putting it, an unusual way of putting it. It's because I think that, like, one thing about dating, you know, you got nervous because you tried to figure out what you're going to talk about, and you always put your best rap forward, you know, when you were courting, during the courtship part. The great thing about marriage is that you have so many things that are in common that the conversation starters should come pretty naturally.
Yeah.
And these are things that you're only going to share with this person, and they're only going to share it with you. So, I mean, it stops right there. It begins and it ends right there, and it's lived out in your life. You can ask your spouse, what has been your most positive spiritual experience during our marriage? And you can make honest a conversation about that. I know that mine was coming to Christ. It's kind of interesting because I wasn't a believer early in our marriage. I just knew Tony was the woman that I wanted to marry. And Tony lived a Christian life. I mean, she did not tell me I needed to go to church. She didn't tell me I needed to love the Lord. She didn't tell me I needed to do any of those things. But she lived that life. And I longed for what she had as far as her relationship with Christ and it being governing of her behavior and her affection towards me and her treatment of me. And I longed for that. And that was my spiritual experience was getting saved through watching the behavior, the Christ-like behavior of my wife. Actually, it started longer than that, but that's not the subject of tonight's discussion. So, but one of these days, I'll tell you how I came to Christ. Another conversation starter. This is the important thing about dating, because you're going to be having discussions. You're going to be interacting with each other. You can ask, what three things have you done in our marriage that you're most proud of? Or you can tell your wife or your spouse the three things that you've done, that they've done in your life that you're most proud of. And I just think of some conversation starters. things that you're not going to discuss with anybody but your spouse.
And Ron, you know, what's so important about that is that that needs to be scheduled on a weekly basis. That
yes.
you schedule some time with each other before you do anything else. A lot of times it's always like second nature, it's secondary or third. But because it's so easy for urgencies of the life just to crowd out our investing in our friendship. And so we have to schedule that time with each other. And you have to protect that time. You protect that appointment, those times that you set aside. You protect it make it as important as the time with, like, meeting with your boss on your job. It's just that important. It has top priority. And when you protect that time, it really means that you are making your relationship intentional. You're building that friendship. You're pouring to each other's lives. And that time is set aside for fun, but sometimes that time is set aside to discuss all things that concern your relationship. We don't want to give Satan any room. And so we
Amen.
Covet that time, and then we intentionally say we're going to talk about these things. And sometimes, you know, when they happen, you can't talk about it. But during that time, you promise each other that we will talk about the tough stuff. We got to talk about the tough stuff, because if we don't, we really lose sight on the reality of, you know, all the things that affect our relationship. And that affects your friendship. And you want to really know that person that you sleep with. You want to know that person that you're sharing life with. And this is a good way to do that. And so you get to discuss.
And be sure to dream together.
Ah.
You want to discuss how you're both feeling about the future. And then you share your feelings without critiquing them. Now, this is a very, very important part. You know, you can't park your eyebrows up in your hairline when they tell you something that you're dreaming about. You want to be able to encourage what they're saying, or
yeah.
make sure that there is no critique of the dream. This is encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not looking for immediate solutions or changes. Mm-hmm. You're just reminding each other that you're on the same team. Tony?
Yeah, I think that is so important. I love that. Being on the same team. You know, in Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, it says it's better to have a partner that goes than go it alone. Share the work, share
Amen.
The wealth. And if one falls down, then the other one helps. But there
Repeat
is no one
again.
To help. I'm sorry?
Repeat that scripture again.
Ecclesiastes 4:9-12.
Okay.
And that it is better to have a partner than to go it alone. So, and I know that Solomon here was really encouraging friendship and couples to look out for one another, and then to share the work, and then you also get to share the wealth. And so you think about dreaming. It's just something that you get to do. And then, like Ron says, it's not to critique, but this is when you really encourage that person to dream, sit outside of the box. This could be possibly a opportunity to open a business or to see your way to your next promotion, or it just might just be fun to create something between the two of you that, you don't know, God could birth in your heart something that is really great. And so the scripture just tells us that if one falls down, then the other one can help. And that's the point here, that you get to dream, You know, or think about that vacation you've always wanted to go on. I know that I would love to go to Israel, you know, and walk down the streets where Jesus walked and look at the Sea of Galilee and see where Paul was. But also, I know Ron has always talked about going to Pango Pango. And, you know, and when he first said that, I was like, he must be crazy. But I looked into it and thought, you know, it would be fun to go there. It would be good. It would be fun just to have that same experience and do some of the things that he's done. And so just to really be able to dream together, just think about that. Or we did an exercise, and we were teaching a marriage class in our church, and we had the couple separately create their dream home. And then after they created their dream home, then they got to share their dream home with their spouse. And what was funny is that they found some things that they both had in those dream homes that they wanted. But then they also found where there were things that were different, and they didn't even think or thought that their spouse would even consider that as being part of a dream home. So it also gives you an opportunity to open up and learn more about that person that you're married to as you listen to their dreams. So it's so important. And listening is really important. We must learn to listen deeply. We must learn that when our spouse speaks, this is me. I need to put the phone down, y'all. Put the phone down, put it somewhere, turn it off. And then I'm turning off the TV. Who was that?
Yeah,
I don't know. Ron has turned off the TV. But it gives us time to sit and listen and sometimes talk directly to each other, look in each other's eyes, and have that eye-to-eye contact. And so and that's so important, because God really, I always say that listening is so important. My dad used to tell us that God gave us our ears and our mouth in the right proportion, that we would listen twice as much as we talk. I haven't mastered that too well. What do you say about that,
you know,
Ron?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, say that I have to turn off the TV, and I don't know if you've noticed this over the years, but I have because I've utilized technology to help me with that. Because when you have something to say, as I'm sitting there watching television, I've got a TiVo connected to my TV, and so mm-hmm. when I'm watching something and Tony comes in and wants to talk, I tell the TiVo to watch it for me, and I turn off the TV and
yeah.
go on and have our conversation. And if I was so interested in that program, I'll go back and watch the rest of it. Most of the time, I ain't studying it. I don't even bother to go back and watch the thing, you know. And it just shows the importance of what you're doing and how you select your activities.
Right. And so, Ron, how do you know?
I'm sorry,
go ahead. I was going to ask you, how do you know when I'm listening to you? Did you hear me?
Let me just put it, let me put it this way. I know.
Uh-huh.
I know. I send out a lot of verbal cues, you know, and you react to my cues, and I know if you have been paying attention to me. Sometimes I act like I'm disturbed with you,
mm-hmm.
and you look like you're trying to figure out what is wrong with this. But you know, and then I know that you're listening because you're trying to figure out something, and I correct it and go on about my business and continue with my explanation of things.
And it reminds me. It reminds me of that scripture in James 1:19. where it really says, wherefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, let every man be slow to hear and, swift to hear and slow to speak. And then it says slow to rapture, but I really want to emphasize the swift to hear and slow to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So that to listen deeply is important. And we've talked about that before, but to listen deeply.
To those of you who are both of you are readers, you can explore a book together. A chapter each week, and then go to a restaurant or somewhere secluded and talk about your reactions to it. Or, maybe you'd rather listen to a podcast together and react and respond to that. But anything to get into some kind of discourse with your spouse so you can find out what your similarities, your differences, your mending of the ways, how you're going to interact with each other, how you're going to interact with others, well, those kinds of things. You just want to explore your relationship. And the way you do that is that you have to be in conversation with each other, in touch with each other, and have a friendly inclination towards each other. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is a lifetime, no-cut contract. Y'all are going to be with each other by commitment. I'm not forced. Nobody's going to hold a gun on you about this. As a matter of fact, the world is making it easier and easier for you to get out. But the Lord expects you, and he has brought you together with, to stay with that person until the divine termination of the institution of marriage, or until one of you walks the other to the grave.
Yeah, I think that the idea of exploring a good book about marriage is really there's a plethora of resources out there and what is it learning your spouse's love language and going through that text I like the idea of a podcast like the one we're doing right now tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That someone can listen to and pick up one or two ideas that would really enrich their marriage, how important that would be. And then to put it into practice. It is important that we learn that the Word of God comes to help us to put life skills into practice. Because what good is all of those 66 books if they don't really help us really live our life and it more abundantly. So I know I'm stuck on that scripture, but I really believe that God put marriage here as a way to have, he said that it wasn't good for man to be alone. And that had a lot to do with Jesus Christ relationship with his Father and the Holy Spirit. They were always together. They were there from the very beginning together, and they always been together. And the only time they weren't together was when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross and took on the sins of the world, took on our sins. And then he went down into hell where the saints who believed were held captive, and he went and set them free. So, he just wasn't laying in the grave those days when he was after they buried him. He was busy doing the business that his Father sent him to do, is to free those that believed in him ahead of time. And once he came up out of that grave, he had all power in his hands. And his intention is for us to be able to learn more about him so we can learn about each other, so then we can represent him well, so we can show what kingdom looks like in this crazy society that we're living in right now. So that's so important. I know I sort of bird walk, but I'm back. But this whole idea of listening together, which which gets us into this idea of maybe stretching ourselves or learning something new with our spouse, you know, and to be careful not to say when our spouse comes up with something new or new idea that we don't automatically say, no, I don't want to be bothered with that. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not, you know, like learning to bowl, you know, saying, you know, I want to do that. Or maybe even skydiving. But you know what I would do? If you go skydiving, I'll go with you and look while you jump out the sky. Because I ain't doing that. But I'm going to encourage you to get it, to do it. Or maybe I might, but one day. But be willing to, you know, to try some things at least once. Just to encourage, just to stretch yourself, to stretch your marriage a little, to have a little fun, to do maybe, you know, yoga or hot yoga. They talk about hot yoga. What do you say to that, Ron? What do you think about that, trying something new?
I think that it's essential in your marriage. And I think that when you think through this, for example, let's say that one of the other spouses was intrigued with roller skating a long time ago, and you want to get back to doing roller skating just as an activity once in a while. Okay? Now, you're not going to, you can just get up there and go out there and go to a rink and roll around, or you could do the things that are, if you're me, I'm not going to do that right now. What I'm going to do, because I must admit, I've been sedentary for a few years, and I'm not in any kind of physical condition to be able to control myself on the Ferris cage. But I could get ready for it. I'd have to start a series of exercises and a stretching routine and a balancing routine to get ready to even put the skates on and just kind of roll around the rink. I think that the rewarding part of that thing is that after you have done those things and you find yourself in better physical condition, that your spouse is in better physical condition and enjoying themselves, particularly if it was their idea and they see that you're enjoying it too. Gosh, can you imagine how that really helps friendship thrive? You introducing this new idea and them taking it up and running it, running along with you with it. It's just it's a friendship builder. So just think about that. And it's nothing that you necessarily have to do forever. But God, take these chapters of your life and put the bookmarks in. And those could be a very effective ways of looking back on the memory. I was going to say another thing that you want to do, and I want to move along here a little bit. Is you want to pull the relationship weeds quickly. As soon as a problematic issue shows up, acknowledge it with each other. Too often we do acknowledge it, but we acknowledge it in the wrong way. We assign blame to the other person. We find out something, we point out something that was wrong with what they did, instead of offering our assistance in there. Is there something that I can help you with? What can I do to ensure that this thing gets done, or that it gets done correctly, or it gets done with a better outcome? We have to approach it with a positive aspect. Don't forget, this person is your friend, and we're talking about for life. You don't need to have a solution right away, but you do need to take an approach to it that is going to lead to a solution in a very positive way. You just need to get the thing out in the open. Pull the relation weeds quickly. Don't let the roots grow deep.
I think that is so vital to understanding that having a regular devotional time together will help, praying together, you know, kissing together, touching one another, those kinds of things that can help develop the trust, so when you get in those problematic issues, that it will be something that you can deal with instead of being in a position where you start to withdraw from that relationship. So I think that that's really, you know, so instead of avoiding each other and stopping talking and arguing about every little thing, that you just really get in there and dig those weeds out by being proactive up front. Because, you know, you're going to have bad days. I don't know any marriages that where people don't argue, where they don't struggle. That's a part of marriage, because we're getting, you know, two becoming one. Isn't that what the scripture says? And yes, we know we can't do that by ourselves. So there you've got to, you know, work through these things. So expect it, so the weeds don't become too thick, you know. But just in case they do. Just in case you haven't been able to solve some of those problems, I really think that it's all right to get some professional help. A lot of times we, especially as African Americans, shy away from getting counseling or seeking out mentors or seeking out somebody that can help us. We sort of, Satan gets us to hide in shame, and then we are there isolated from the very people that should be helping us.
Right.
And so it's important that we get that help that we need. So what do you say about that, Ron? What do you think about getting professional help?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, you wouldn't want to do your own brain surgery. So don't hesitate to reach out when it's warranted. I mean, who do you think you are, Mr. Spock? That's a Star Trek reference. Any of y'all who are any kind of Star Trek fans remember the original Star Trek series called Spock's Brain? And something had gone wrong with his mind. And they had to give him brain surgery, but they didn't know the Vulcan anatomy. So they had to hook his brain up to the doctors being able to understand what he's saying. And Spock actually got it through the brain surgery on his own brain. So, but remember, you're not Mr. Spock.
So, I remember Spock.
I think that God planned for us. He said, out of the mouth of many counselors, you can make a good decision. He wants us to be in community, be in koinonia, where we can then seek out other people who have gone through some of the trials and tribulations and have really become successful. Seeking first, you know, someone who has a biblical viewpoint of relationships and friendships and marriage. But if you can't find a counselor who has a Christian viewpoint, you find a good counselor who's good at what they do. And then you take that and apply it to the scripture. But I really think that it's important that when we're in the situation where we can't seem like we can solve our own problems, that we seek professional help.
Amen.
All right.
And yes. One thing that, sorry, Minister Sylvia, did you say something?
No.
One thing that we want to make sure, and we're going to conclude this discussion, we want to celebrate our spouse's successes. We want to be in the habit of lifting them up, particularly when they're struggling. It's a way of saying, I've got your back. It's what friends do for each other, so it's even more critical that you do this for your best friend, your spouse. Lift them up.
Yes, because in Proverbs it says in 18:24, A man that has friends must show themselves friendly, and their friend, there's friends that stick closer than a brother. And so can you imagine your spouse being that friend that sticks closer than anybody else? They see you, and we always talk about that, they see you in your natural state. You have the scripture say that they were naked and unashamed. They get to see you. They get to see all the pimples and the bumps, and they know where all the ugly spots are. So they're there to encourage you, for you to be lifted up. Even in your times of struggle, you know, when we lose loved ones, when or when things are not going well on our job, or, you know, we need somebody to hear us. And then, and sometimes not to even say anything as much as just to be present, to be there to hold us, or just to hold our hand, or to hear us out, even though sometimes we might even be wrong on our job. But we need somebody to hear us out, and then just to have that stillness of knowing that somebody loves you just the way you are, and then to encourage you along the way. And I'm blessed to have that in Ron Montgomery.
And I'm blessed to have Tony Montgomery. In conclusion, I'd just like to say that friendship is vital to building a world-class marriage and a strong emotional connection with your spouse. Don't leave it to chance. Make it a priority and pursue it with intention. Make your marriage fun again. Minister Tony.
Yes.
It's in your hands. Minister Sylvia, it's in your hands.
I heard you. I was just stuck on what you were saying. Some of us is going to be a test of time.
Yes.
To make our marriage strong again. Some of us better pray that God give us the heart to want to make it strong again.
The great thing about it is that we have time. We have the rest of our lives together.
Yeah. And we have to remember, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Tony.
No, I was going to say, we have to remember that our marriage reflects Christ. And so our willingness to want to do it again must be that question in our mind. What are we doing to reflect Christ in our marriage? That's all. I'm through.
You know, a lot of times people have to get to the place where they have to say it's not too far gone. Because if you're both coming home every day, somebody may be too scared to say, I'm not ready to, as our cousin Lawrence Seabury say, I'm not ready to bail out yet. You know, he ain't ready to hit the bail or throw in the towel. You know, but they don't want to say something and the other one is not. But that's why I thank God for this program, especially tonight, that a lot of times we forget the part that Minister Ron said. We was living we dated to get married. We didn't realize we were supposed to get married just to date. Because if you think about it, once you get married, you ain't trying to sit out. You want to go show your arm piece off.
Thank you.
You know, that's what I'm like, even with the weight on, when you just fit all the times, like you say, the dimples and the tucks and the stretch marks and the cellulite.
All of them.
When you get the pounds on you, the gray hairs, still show me off. Still let me know in your eyes, I still look like I did when you first saw me.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it says.
Don't let the world write me off, too. And you. I thank God for the program on tonight. I hope somebody got something out of it. When I said we better ask God, pray and ask God to give us the heart and the mind, you know, as you pray and say, God, touch my spouse's heart and mind to not want to throw in the towel, not want to give up. A mother said it on tonight. we run into those bad times.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Moore on Facebook says, all right, Steph, you know, we run into those bad times. We're not going to always have sunshine. We're not going to always have grassy grass. We're going to have rainy days, rainy nights. We're going to have that thunderstorm mm-hmm. come through. What
yeah.
are we doing? Are we running out in the rain hoping the lightning don't hit us? If we should be somewhere praying and say, God, I don't know what part I play, but God, to get it like here, right in this place, but God, I want to play the part of mending it. I want to play the part of, as Minister Ron say, help me, teach me how to uplift him, or in the male point of view, teach me how to uplift her. Well, sometimes we have to say, if you know you be saying I'm sorry all the time, stop saying I'm sorry and say I apologize and do some changing.
Mm.
Don't just use the baby diaper. Change yours.
Well,
I thank you all for
the same thing over
and over again. Yeah, you keep doing it. You're not apologizing. You're repeating. You're trying to get that position perfect. But perfectly go to God and ask God to change your mindset. I tell you, you're so right. I really needed to put this lesson on tonight. I really needed it for myself because a lot of times we get so comfortable. You know, like a good pair of shoes, a perfectly pair of old pants, we done got too comfortable in our marriages. And just like we shouldn't stop dating after we get married, let's not stop and let's start praying. We got to pray for this thing because Mother Tony said it. The first thing God gave us was marriage. Togetherness. Foundation.
Yeah.
Covering. That was the first thing God gave us. We the one cheated on God.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we cheated on God, and that's what messed up our marriage. Because after Eve did what she did, Adam, he couldn't even take the blame of just saying, I wanted to follow her. He said, that woman you gave me.
You gave me. Blame God.
He blamed God, and he blamed the woman. He said, that woman you gave me. Instead of just saying, yeah, we did it. He tried to plead the case, and hopefully he was going to get some better time. But God said, you both did. So all I'm saying to our listeners is we both play a part. We played a part in putting it together. We got to play a part in keeping it together. And we got to play a part in, I don't care if I was the one that started the argument, but I'm the one going to finish it. We got an old saying saying, tell the fat lady sing. I'm the fat lady. I'm finna sing. It's over now. We can't keep doing this. So I'm going to say, is anybody on Blog Talk, the lines are open. You all can speak to the man and woman of God on tonight and let them know how they blessed you. And if you have any comments or questions, please let them know. The lines are open.
Good evening. Thanks. This is Margo. I'd just like to thank the Montgomery's for the message on tonight, reminding us about the importance of friendship. And so much was said that was really great and foundational. The whole idea of dating, which is something that you guys had talked about before, but I realized you talked about them being action points. That's something we need to put into action. So we need to put that into action. And so the other thing, too, that sort of stuck with me is at the end when Ron mentioned that we should be working toward having a world-class marriage. I thought, wow, that really stuck with me. And that's a great goal. So thank you, guys.
Amen.
Thank you very much, ministers. Thank you for your words and for your lesson on tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Margo.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak to the man and woman of God tonight?
Yes. Good evening. Good evening, Minister Sylvia, Ron, Tony. Again, you guys are really a dynamic duo. I tell you, every time I listen to you, I get jealous. But a couple of very good points, and these are points that people, before they jump into marriage, don't realize, which is why you have to be in the Word, because Tony, Mother Tony made a statement, your marriage must reflect Christ, and marriage is like a covenant between a man and a woman, and it is a reminder of Christ's commitment to his bride, which is the church. And also mentioning a divine institution that was started by God, but not only that, defined by God and regulated by God. But you won't know what the regulations are if you don't know his word. So first thing is that you have to start out on even ground. You guys covered a lot of points, and praise the Lord, my notes are neat. I finally have some neat notes. Oh, and Minister Ron, I could eat chicken and dumplings every day. Every day. Mm-hmm. I could chicken and dumplings in the middle of summer. It'll be 110. Erica, look at me with this. She'll give me that face. Like, are you serious? Yes, I am. And also, never stop dating. And I like, what was it? You don't date to marriage. You don't date to marry, but you marry to date. That was a good statement, because a lot of times we don't really get to know who it is we want to marry. Because you don't know who you married to, after you get married, then you find out all types of things that you automatically may not like, or that may not appeal to you. But see, before marriage, you get to know them, you talk it out, and, you know, you start out on even ground. And also, be in the Word. Be in the Word. Be evenly yoked. Communication. Y'all talked about communication and the knowledge of understanding each other and what lies ahead. Because, see, married people have an intimate knowledge of each other, more so than just the general public. So these were a lot of good points here, very good. I enjoyed this sermon. I keep wanting to call this a sermon. I enjoyed this lesson this evening, and Minister Sylvia, you cracked me up. We cheated on God first. You crazy.
Yeah, I know. You got me.
She had me cracking up
by herself.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to thank you all for this lesson this evening. I won't take up too much time. I'll let somebody else talk. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else who would like to have anything to say on tonight, please? Let us know if you have anything you want to say.
Actually, hello, everyone. I have something to say. My name is Paula. I was invited online by my friend. And I just wanted to tell the Montgomerys that I really enjoyed you. Inspired me so much on getting married and some things to do and things not to do. And I really enjoyed the lesson on tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Amen. Is there anyone else who'd like to comment on tonight? Well, I'm going to say this before we close out. I think Mother Tony and Minister Ron Montgomery, because you had said another key statement that a lot of us, I was waiting to see if someone else was going to say it, but a lot of us forget when we get old that we should not stop dreaming. We should always keep dreaming. You should dream that as like Minister Ron said, you're gonna. This is a lifetime contract. That the warranty is lifetime. It ain't no renewal. It's lifetime. So when we're sitting here and we're retiring and we're going into our retirement ages and stuff like that, you're supposed to marry with without looking at an expiration date. But if an expiration date do come, let's be real. If an expiration date do come, it's no problem with, that's when you renew it. You go back. You got to remember what the word, get into your word and find out. If you divorce, what happens if you marry someone else? Who do you still belong to? Get in your word. Know when your renewal date is. It's okay to renew your vows or it's okay to reunite. But
right.
When you do, don't stop dreaming. When a person is down, and don't let the world tear them up and they come home and get tore up too. Still let them know. I still like that cologne he's got on, baby. You still look good in that suit to me. Girl, you know that dress, it ain't tight as it used to, but I still like you in it. That's still my favorite cologne. We got to still build each other up, because when we look in the mirror and see the gray hairs and the wrinkles and the folds and the extra pounds, I don't want you telling me you don't like me either. So I look forward to the fourth Monday of every month. You all can call in, you can talk, you can give comments. I post it on Facebook so you can see it and hear it at the same time. Please type in a comment, even if you do it in the replay. I'll get the question to Mother Tony and Minister Ron, and I will get an answer back to you. I just want you all to know that this program is anointed and it's appointed. It's not just something we threw together. We prayed over this program, and we asked God to lead us to and give us the people that will be a part of this ministry. And when we was released by God to ask, we knew it was God because they said yes. Don't just think when you tune in, oh, you had nothing else to do. This was your to-do. Just like the Nike commercial, just to do it. This was your to-do. So I want you to know that we're also here on Friday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Friday coming up, I most likely will be ministering, because I think a prophet will be doing a graduation, but if not, we're going to see what God say. But I believe, God, that the prophet has something for us, but if not, we'll see. When you get tired of sitting up and not doing anything on Sunday mornings early, you notice I said when you get tired of, because most of y'all ain't getting up going to church. So tune in at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and listen to our very own Apostle Elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, and Minister Sheila Kaiser, along with Minister Brandon Kaiser and Minister Margo Ford. That will be on a Sunday morning. And if you want to come back next Monday, it's our youth ministry. It's the fifth Monday of this month. Please have your children, your young teens, your young adults, and if you're the young person, if you're not in age but you are at heart, please tune in next Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God has the word. This is the program that inside Smile 3E, Iron Sharply Iron. Our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I am so excited that we are getting knowledge. That's because you're seeking God if you're listening to us. And this is what God is adding unto you. This was your night to learn about family. But marriage and looking to be married. These are great tokens. These are great nuggets. This is great information. Please tune in again. I would like to know if Minister Ron or Mother Tony would pray us out on tonight. If no one else has anything to say.
If no one else has anything to say, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you for being our God and choosing us to be your people. We thank you, Lord God, that even in this society that we get to stand up and represent you, your institution of marriage. We thank you for each listener and each household that was represented tonight. And you see where they are. We ask, God, that you meet them at their point of need, that you know, Lord, the desires of their hearts, you know where they're struggling. Those that desire to be married, Lord, we ask that you open doors and make ways that they might meet that mate, Lord, that you have designed for them. Those that are married, Lord God, and may be in places of struggle, we ask, God, that you help them take one of the points that we talked about tonight, Lord, and put it into practice that they might show what kingdom marriage looks like and feels like, Lord God. And it might represent you in today's last and evil times. We ask, God, that you bless the head of this ministry, Lord God, Minister-elect Cecilia, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, and to bless Minister Sylvia Kaiser, Lord, because of the work that you've placed in their hands to do, Lord, we ask that you just continue to bless them, that this ministry will grow and that it will reach, Lord God, to homes and marriages and families all over the world, that they might know what it sounds like and looks like as people serve you, oh God. We ask, Lord, that you continue to pour into the lives, Lord, of the ministers that are part of this ministry that you have put together according to your plan. We just thank you, Lord God, for this time together. We ask, God, that those that are listening that are in need of healing, we ask, God, that you heal, because you said that healing is a children's bread, and we ask, God, that you provide, heal, deliver, and make whole. Those, Lord God, that are in need of a financial blessing, Lord, we ask that you give them a kingdom share of needs. You said that you would bless them, Lord, according to your riches and glory. We ask, God, that you just continue to bless those that are faithful to the call that you have placed in their lives. We just thank you, Lord, right now for just this time together where we could sit down at the table, that we could talk about marriage, Lord God, and just to share a little wisdom. We ask that you bless these things that according to your plan, that you might get the glory and that we, Lord God, might reflect your love and grace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.